Well, good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night here at Eagle Mountain International Church. We have a very special service for you. Pastor George Pearson is speaking on what is uncommon faith. You know, he says it all the time about us being a place of uncommon faith. Well, what is that? Well, he's going to teach you that in just a moment. But before he does, Happy New Year 2019. And I want to give you the opportunity, and I don't need to preach you a sermon. We know what the word says. We're doers of the word, right? I want to give you the opportunity to sow right here at this beginning of this year. It's a very easy process for you to do. EMIC.org/give, EMIC. .org/give. Click on the giving tab right there. It is, and then it'll all secure. Gives you all the information of what you need to do to sow your seed to begin this year off as a way of a blessing. Let's just start it right. Amen. You agree with me on that? Or you can text to give on your mobile device. Text EMIC plus the amount to 36609. That's EMIC plus the amount to 36609. I have determined that I'm going to sow on every wave this year because I want to reap on every wave. How about you? Why don't you make that agreement with me? And let's begin it right now tonight. Do all of that, emic.org/give or text to give 36609 and the amount. All right, here we go. You ready? Pastor George Pearson is going to teach us right now what is uncommon faith. Watch this.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Tony. Thank you, everybody. Well, while you're standing here, I wanted to do this with you. Are you stirred up tonight?
Yes.
Well, you are stirred up tonight. My goodness. Sometimes it's hard for folks to come out on a Wednesday night, but you are the tried and true. You are the center, the nucleus. You are the excited ones. And I'll get you even more excited. I wanted to go through this confession once again that I shared with you on Sunday. The one from this church in England that I had just been looking up some things about enlarging your capacity for faith. And I came across this, and this was their word for the Lord for 2017. I took it for us for 2018. It's my year of overflowing abundance. It's your year of overflowing abundance. And the scripture that they used was John 10:10, the Amplified Translation. It says that Jesus came that we may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. So I want you to say this, and I want you to say it with all of your heart, all of your faith. Say, this is my year, of overflowing abundance. I am blessed beyond measure. I am exceedingly fruitful. I am abundantly prosperous. I am blessed and highly favored.
I am blessed and highly favored.
I am increasing more and more.
I am increasing more and more.
I am overflowing abundantly.
I am overflowing abundantly.
With the blessing of the Lord.
With the blessing of the Lord.
I am filled with the fullness of Christ.
I am filled with the fullness of Christ.
I am made alive together with Him.
I am made alive together with Him.
I am raised up together with Him.
I am seated together
with Christ in heavenly places. I am overflowing with God's power.
I am overflowing with God's authority.
I am overflowing with God's grace.
I am overflowing with the Holy Spirit.
And fire.
I can do all things.
Through Christ,
which strengthens me.
I am more than a conqueror.
In every situation,
overwhelming victory is mine.
In Christ Jesus.
No more limits.
No more barriers.
No more obstacles.
No more struggles.
No more afflictions.
No more oppression.
No more lack.
No more delay.
My light is shining brighter and brighter.
My cup is running over.
This is my appointed time
of overflowing abundance.
Let's give God praise for that. Thank you, Lord.
Thank Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you for this time together in the name of Jesus. Thank you for where you are taking us. Thank you for this uncommon faith that you have made available to us. And we are taking the time to develop in it because you want us to walk in places and walk in things that we've never been in before. We think faith. We talk faith. We walk faith. Lord, I thank you that the faith of God is rising up on the inside of us right now. In the middle of this week, we receive this faith boost in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would. I want you to open your Bibles, first of all, before we get into our notes. Let's back up a little bit and talk about a few things that we talked about on Sunday concerning this. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 54, I'll just briefly take you on this journey that the Lord has taken me on over the last couple of weeks. You know, every one of us has faith projects. You know what a faith project is. A faith project is something that the Lord has given to you to believe for, to receive, to do some breakthrough, something in your life that you've been believing for and endeavoring to receive and stand on the word. You know, it's very interesting how we have been walking in these faith projects for years. And one of the big faith projects for our church this year, is for the completion of the top floor of the Student Life Center and the auditorium in preparation for the Kenneth Copeland Bible College and what is going to be taking place there. And we've been just really over the years endeavoring to walk in a place of faith and patience before the Lord concerning the building. And you know, the top floor had a different purpose for it when we first started out. And I just love the way the Lord, because there would be times when I would get discouraged over it. And I'd go over there and I'd walk around and I'd look around at that top floor and I'd look around at the auditorium. Same kind of thing that happened to us when we were renovating our home and it was taking so long to renovate the home. But I would walk through and that discouragement would try to settle in and I say, no, I walk by faith. And I just begin to speak to it. And people over the years would talk to us about, well, you shouldn't have bitten off such a big project. You should have built it in smaller buildings and smaller stages, and you would have been into that by now. And yeah, there were times when I'd drive by churches and they'd have a sign up that said building a new youth center. And I'd drive by that and it would be finished and we'd still be working on this one over here. But I refuse to allow time to be an enemy. What do you do with that time that you are waiting? You are confessing the word. You are believing God. You're taking your stand and you are not giving up. The thing I'm so excited about is that we are now at the precipice of the completion of this building over here where all of the top floor, all of the auditorium is going to be ready, not only for the Kenneth Copeland Bible College, but it's going to be ready for 1440 to come on over. And other things that we're going to be doing over there, projects that we have that will use that auditorium as a studio. I mean, we are going and blowing here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mountain International Church. But that's a faith project that we have together and that we're going to be standing on the word together. But you have a faith project. You've got faith projects. And the thing that the Lord was impressing me upon as we were coming to the end of last year and into this new year, I could tell that he was wanting to enlarge my capacity. We all have the capacity for an uncommon growing faith if you will do what it takes to do that. And that's what this is all about. That's what we're going to be doing on Sundays. And the times that I've been given here, this is what we're going to be doing here, is the development of our faith. And the Lord brought to me Isaiah 54 verses 2 and 3. And it says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes, for you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And the Lord started talking to me about enlarging the place of our tent. And as I shared with you on Sunday, there is so much vision around here. There are so many things that we're believing God for right now. I mean, one of the big things that we're believing for is to be on DirecTV before the end of the year. And to add that to the outreach of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. So our faith is working on that. We're working towards receiving DirecTV and all the finances that it takes to do it. All of the other things that need to be done on the property here, the infrastructure, the things that need to come up to where they need to be, the Spanish outreach that we have, the Portuguese outreach that's going on. I mean, this list is, it's a long list of the things that we're believing God to do. And so what is it going to take? What is it going to take for me as pastor and executive director, especially what is it going to take for me to be able to keep up with the vision that Brother Copeland is handing us? What is it going to take? And you can look at it two ways. You can either get overwhelmed by what is it going to take and how are we going to get the money, or you can develop your faith and enlarge your capacity to believe God to receive everything that He wants for you. Not just for what we're talking about here on property, but we're talking about your own life and the things that you're believing for. You are certainly not stunted in your ability to develop faith. You're not. You are designed by God to grow. In the same way we grow physically, in the same way we grow intellectually, the same way we grow and we develop and we advance from kindergarten to the first grade and then onward, there is a spiritual development that takes place if a believer will do what it takes to do it. And many don't. Many don't do that. Many don't really apply themselves to an intensive study of the Word of God. And I must say that I've stayed intensive ever since I got a hold of this, 40 something years ago now. I've stayed 41 years now with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And when I first received all of Brother Copeland's tapes that he sent me back in 1976, I started digging into those and heard things that I'd never heard before and heard him preach things that were setting me free. And I've not come down. I really have not come down since that time. But since really the middle of December, there has been an acceleration on the inside of me. And as I look back over the 25 years of pastoring the church, and I'm restudying some of the notes that I began with when I first started the church in 1993, I have gotten so thrilled about the ability to bring to you an uncommon faith and to help you develop that faith. And as the Lord and I had this question and answer session in December, He said, I asked Him the question, what will it take for us to fulfill our vision? What will it take for the people of our congregation, those people who are watching us, to fulfill the visions that God has given to us personally? What is it going to take to fulfill the vision that God has given us in this ministry for this year? This is not for the faint-hearted. This is not for those who just want to maintain the status quo. There really is no status quo in faith. You're either going up or you're going down. You are either exercising your bulldog faith or you're just laying back and it's slipping back into places where it shouldn't be. Well, there has been this question that I put before the Lord. What will it take to fulfill this vision? What is it that we need to do? What is it that our staff needs to do? What is it that our church needs to do to be able to do this? And the Lord answered the question, you're going to have to enlarge your faith capacity. You're going to have to enlarge your faith capacity to be able to receive all that I want you to receive. There is a receiver that every one of us has. It's on the inside of us. It's the spirit man. And that receiver can be developed. You can improve your ability to receive from God. You can improve your ability on the inside to take in everything that He has for you. And I do things to exercise the capacity to see bigger. I want to see bigger. I want to see bigger than I ever have before. I want to be able to see you fulfill every dream and desire that you have in your life. I want to see that. I want to believe that. And I want to be a person of faith. I know that there are men in here who desire to be men of faith. There are women in here who desire to be women of faith. And there's a capacity available to each one of us to enlarge that capacity to be able to receive from God things that we've not received before. The other day I was at home And I was working on some things for the office, and I was just thinking about everything that I had to do, all the different things that I needed to get done. And I was thinking about some TV tapings that I needed to prepare for with Gloria, and I thought about some reports that I needed to do here at the office, and it really started to get on me. It really started to overwhelm me. And I heard the voice of the Lord rise up on the inside of me, and he said this to me. He said, "Call yourself Superman." Call yourself Superman. And then I asked him, I said, "What about the women?" He said, "Tell them to call themselves Wonder Women." But it really affected me, and it was, I mean, it was not, it was kind of a funny thing for him to say that. But I got it and I took it. I am a Superman. Super means over and above. I am a supernatural man. I am created after the image of God. And there's a capability and a capacity on the inside of me that has yet been untapped. That there's more available. If Adam can name every animal, every insect, if he had the capacity to do that, and there was a capacity that Adam had, it was amazing. It was an absolutely amazing capacity. The brain capability of Adam was just totally amazing. Well, you and I have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. And I go to the Lord and I say, "Show me some things. Show me how you run this universe. Show me how you do some things. I want my own capacity of my mind to be able to enlarge to a place where it's never been before. That I'm thinking on a level that I've never thought about before. That I'm thinking on a place of prosperity that I've never thought was even possible before." That is the place where the Lord is wanting to take us. And then he reminded me of what he said to me in 1992. 1992 was the year before I started pastoring the church. We started January the 3rd, 1993. And all that year before, as executive director of the ministry, I had that position for some six years or so. And I was in it. I was involved in it. And pastoring the church had become really an idea or a thought that I wasn't wanting to entertain. I was really afraid of it, to be honest with you. I was afraid of pastoring because of what I've seen pastors go through. I was afraid of pastoring because of what I've seen where congregations were concerned and what happened and what took place. But the Lord helped me to overcome that. And all during that year, he was talking to me. He was talking to me. I remember going to a Brother Hagin meeting over in Dallas in 1992, early in 92. And he was teaching on faith. And we had our kids with us. They were very small at the time. We drove all the way over to Carrollton. We were going to this Brother Hagin meeting. Well, one night he got off on the subject of pastoring and it touched my heart. It did something to me on the inside. And he must have talked about the anointing to pastor for a half hour. Well, I got that tape and I brought it home and I listened to it. I don't know why I was listening to it. I know now. But I don't know why I was listening to it then. Why was I listening to it? The Lord was enlarging my capacity to step into the office of the pastor for this church. He was beginning to work with me. He was beginning to deal with me about it. And the funny thing was about it, I was going through some tapes the other day and I found the tape. There it was. There it was. That same tape that I listened to. And it brought me to the place where the Lord could begin to speak to me. And he spoke to me during September of 1992. And he said this, "Take a group of people and disciple them intensely in the Word of God." And I'm looking at you right now, and you're a group of people. I'm looking at you right now. You're a group of people that the Lord has called me to. And this 25th anniversary has really stirred me up about this, has really brought me into a focus of why I'm here doing what I'm doing, why we're doing what we're doing together. I am called by God to take you and disciple you intensely in the Word of God, intensely in the Word of God. He said, "Teach them an uncommon faith." Teach them an uncommon faith. And what is an uncommon faith? That's Bible faith. That's true Bible faith. It is an uncommon faith to see the kinds of things that we've seen in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. And he's wanting us to walk in those things. And he's wanting us to walk in those miracles. And he's wanting us to walk in that supernatural provision and those divine appointments and being able to experience all that the kingdom of heaven wants us to experience and to see things happen in our lives where people look at us and go, that is unusual. That is just unusual. How did that happen to you? Well, I'm walking in the faith of God. That's what had happened. The God kind of faith. An uncommon faith. An uncommon faith that believes God and doesn't quit and doesn't throw in the towel and doesn't lay down their faith, but they remain fixed and firm. Their hearts are established in the Word of God. The 112th Psalm is a picture of you and me. And he's just shown me, and I'm preaching to you with this ferocity, this I guess it's the Holy Ghost and fire on the inside of me right now. That fire of God that is on, I'm on fire about this. I'm on fire about you knowing how to apply your faith in a way that you've never done it before. Those that are believing for healing for their bodies, for them to walk in a place of that divine health, that your youth is renewed like the eagles, and you're walking in a place of health that you've never been before. That the older you get, the more healthy you become, the stronger you become, the more empowered of God you become. So he said, teach them an uncommon faith and help them to stand victorious in life. So I want you to make this confession of faith. This is a drill. He said, drill them. Drill them, work them in the Word. Drill them in the Word. So here is a sample of one of our drills. Say this after me. My faith is awake.
My faith is awake.
Faith,
faith.
Wake up.
Wake up.
My faith is activated.
My faith is activated.
My faith is working.
My faith is working.
My faith is producing results.
My faith is producing results.
My faith in God is strong.
My faith is alive.
My faith is alive. Now we'll stop here for just a moment. It's Him on the inside of us. It's Him working in us. It's not me, but it's Him in me. But there's a man part and a God part. And my part is to walk in His ability and to allow that ability to flow through me. My part is to use my words of faith and declare the end from the beginning. My part is to allow that faith to work through me. So that's why we make this declaration, and we're waking up our faith. We're waking up our faith. Maybe there are some of you that your faith has gotten tired. There's a tired faith. There is a faith that you just don't want to use it anymore. You're like, I'm just tired of this. Well, we're waking that up. Say, my faith is strong.
My faith is strong.
My faith is alive.
My faith is alive.
My faith is growing exceedingly. My faith is flourishing.
My faith is flourishing.
I have the God kind of faith.
I walk by faith
and not by sight.
My faith says,
I see it now.
My faith says,
I have it now.
I am a believer
and not a doubter. I'm a doer of the word.
This is the victory
that overcomes the world.
My uncommon faith.
So let's give God praise for that right now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I shared with you on Sunday from 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, where the apostle Paul wrote to them and said, I pray that I might come to see you face to face, so that I could help you with whatever gaps there are in your faith. That's several different translations. But evidently, there were some gaps in their faith. There were some things that needed to happen in their believing mechanism on the inside that needed him to come there and to bring them a strategic plan of how to develop their faith. Well, then we find in 2 Thessalonians, which was 2 months later, He was praising them on how he saw their faith was growing exceedingly. A couple of translations that we read, one talked about your faith is growing more and more. Another one said your faith is growing phenomenally. So we see from that scripture, faith can grow. It can grow. And we'll get into this on Sunday, but we'll talk about how we have been given the measure of faith. We have the measure of the God kind of faith. I remember one time watching Pastor Fred Price on television, and he was preaching about these things. And he asked his congregation a question. He said, how many of you want more faith? And hands went up everywhere. And he had to go back and correct them. Because you have all the faith that you need. You have every bit of the faith that you need. You don't need more faith. You need the faith that you have developed. And that's where the human spirit can be trained in these things. It just all depends on how far you want to go. How far do you want to go with him? All the way, all the way. That's what I want to do too. We want to go as far as he wants us to take him. So within that 2-month period, the Apostle Paul was able to put them through an intensive, an uncommon faith intensive, where their faith came up to a new level. And that's what's all over me. That's what you and I are going to be doing this for a while. We're going to be in this intensive together. When you see me on Sunday, I'll be on fire. I will be on fire with this. And we'll go through some drills and we'll just do what it takes to get our faith up to the place where we need to believe God and receive everything that is necessary for your life, for your family, for your livelihood and everything that God has called you to do. And that he's increasing you more and more because you're bringing tithes and offerings in here. We're gonna have the finances do everything that we need to do with that building. I call it in now in the name of Jesus. I have it. In just a moment, we will. Now, we'll be talking about this a little bit, but we have to develop a now mentality. Yes. Now mentality. It's yours now. It belongs to you now. Faith is now. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll begin with this scripture because we're talking tonight, and you can go to your notes. We're talking tonight about what is uncommon faith. What is uncommon faith? It'd take a little bit of time. It'd take quite a bit of time. I went through my house today just praying in tongues, thinking about this. And I thought about all of the messages of faith that I have heard over the years and all the things that I've learned about it. And how I just want, like Brother Copeland says, I want to take the top of your head off and just start pouring that down on the inside of you. It's exciting. It's exciting because the Lord has big things for you to do. He's got some massive things that he wants all of us to partake of. He's got massive things for this ministry to do, for us, places for us to go and aircraft to believe for. And sometime during this week, there is going to be the G5 that will land on this property. Praise God. Praise God. It's exciting. It's exciting because we're seeing the fruition of what faith can do. It took 10 years from the time that Brother and Sister Copeland and the rest of us started believing for Citation 10. It took 10 years for the manifestation of that. It took only a year for a Gulfstream 5 to come in. Took a year. Now we have some things to do with it. There's an interior that needs to be redesigned because we've got to fit more people. We've got to take more people with us. And we have to lengthen the runway for it. I mean, it can land here now, but full aircraft and so forth. It needs a longer runway. Well, we're going to need a longer runway anywhere for the bigger jets that come in here that will take you and I to exotic places to preach the gospel. I mean, can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it happening? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. The other day we had a vision expanding experience. We're working with, I told you on Sunday, we're working with a master planning company. And they're a worldwide company. And as I said, I think I told you on Sunday, they're helping to rebuild, redesign LaGuardia Airport. That's one of the projects that they have. Massive, massive company. Thousands of people on staff. And they're headquartered here in Dallas. And they have different divisions. They have an aviation division. And they've the people that come over and work with us, they're born again. They're saved. And they've worked on many of the big churches around us and have worked on these big secular projects. And they're on fire with the vision of this. They're on fire with that vision. And so we took... And Terry and I have wanted to do this, but we wanted to take a helicopter ride around this property. So we leased a helicopter this week. And it took two different rides because there were so many of us that you can only take five in each ride. But we went up there and we flew all over the property. I saw things on this property I've never seen before. We're looking at this property to be able to see how we're going to master plan the property. Where are we going to put this and where are we going to put that and how are we going to lengthen the runway and where are we going to put this building and where are we going to put the 10,000 seat facility. So we flew all over this place. And then we flew around the land around us. You know there's a lot of land around us, don't you? But if you've never seen it from a helicopter, if you've never seen it from in the air where you're just like right above it and you're flying over it. And I was up front with the pilot and he said, well, where else do you want me to take you? And I said, just take me around all this land around the sun. I'm telling the pilot what to do. I'm take me around over here and show me this over here. And it was like God showing Abraham the stars. And the sand, and in broadening his vision, enlarging his vision, to be able to see things that you've not seen before. I just remember the day that Brother Copeland said to me last year, he looked at me, he said, this property's not big enough for the Revival Capital. Okay, all right, let's enlarge our tents. You see now why it's all over me. You see now why I see it. And that's why it's so much fun to go to Disney World with my grandchildren, to go out there to Disney World where a man had a vision. One man had a vision for property in Florida, obscure property in Florida. He had a vision on the inside of him. And do you know that they only use 35% of the property that they own? Only 35% is being used for Disney World. The rest of that property is out there. It's out there. But visionaries, there's something about a visionary. I mean, don't you enjoy looking at documentaries about vision? I mean, I do. About visionaries, people that see things. Well, see, those are all pictures to us of a picture of faith. What faith is all about. The operation of faith. And these people touch on that operation of faith. But think about touching on the operation of faith for vision for the kingdom of God. That's why I'm going to Nigeria in May on the Gulf Stream with Brother Copeland to David Oyedepo's church so that I can walk in the midst of a vision. I want to stand in the midst of that vision. I enjoy watching it on the big screen, but your pastor has to go there, go get a vision and bring it back to you here. Like pastor, like pew, what happens to me happens to you. And I want all of our vision to enlarge. I want your personal vision to enlarge. I want you to see yourself. Whatever is necessary in your household. If you're at a place right now where you're paycheck to paycheck, I want to see yourself beyond that paycheck to paycheck. I want to see yourself with money in the bank and that when you get paid, there's money left over. That's a good vision. That's a good vision. But every step is a step of faith. Every step is a step of faith. But in order for us to do this, we're going to have to walk in an uncommon faith. What is uncommon faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a definition of faith right there. That's what faith is all about. It is the substance of the things that we hope for. Now, when we talk about hope, there's Bible hope, and then there is a natural hope. A natural hope, it's always out there beyond reach. I hope. I hope I get healed one day. I hope I can live debt-free one day. I hope I might be able to do this one day. It's always out there. It's like the carrot, you know, out in front, just dangling there, and it's always outside. But faith is the substance of the things that you have a Bible hope for. What is a Bible hope? A Bible hope is a red, hot, burning, earnest expectation with an outstretched neck. That expectation of the things not seen that will be seen before you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence. It's the evidence, it's the proof of things that are not seen. You can walk through the top floor of the building over there And right now it's all open. It's all open. But when I walk through there, I see the walls up. I see the furniture in place. I see the classrooms there. I see the classrooms full of Kenneth Copeland Bible College students. I see our 1440 in the auditorium. I see people preaching in that auditorium. People from all over the world coming here to preach. I see it. I see it. You have to develop that eye of faith, the eye of faith that see things from the Word of God. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's look at a couple of translations that are listed there in your notes. In the Moffat translation, number 2, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. That is what a person of faith acts like. They have such a confidence that it's theirs. Whatever the Word of God says I am, I am. Whatever the Word of God says I can do, I can do. And whatever the Word of God says I can have it. I'm convinced of it. And you know what? I am working on my convincer. I am. I'm working on my convincer. I'm working on that being so convinced, fully convinced that that building is done. It is done. I see it done. To get to the place where the eye of faith is working in you more than what you see in the natural realm. You see things done. I'm working on that myself. I'm working on it myself. And I work on it every time I drive on this property. Whenever I drive on this property, I say, welcome to the revival capital of the world. And I go through and I rebuild buildings and I tear down things and I move things and shift things and I renovate. I renovate by faith, seeing that done. Faith means that we are confident of what we hope for and convinced of what we do not see. I'm working on the same thing that Abraham developed, fully persuaded faith. I'm so persuaded. You can't talk me out of it. You can't chase me away from it. You can't discourage me. You can't pull hope from out of me. I see it done. I see the fullness of the revival capital of the world on this place. I see it. I see people coming here from all over the world. I see it. I see it. I see the vision that Gloria Copeland had many years ago of cars just backed up going down the road, coming here to receive the healing power of God, to see the miracles take place, to have the Word of God preached to them. I see it. I see it. And you have to develop that kind of sight, especially when you're believing for things in your own life, when you're believing for your debt-free house, or you're believing for your debt-free car, or you're believing for whatever it is in your body that needs to be taken care of, to be able to see that with the eye of faith and declare that with the mouth of faith and just absolutely turn over every fiber of your being to God and let it be a faith being. You be a faith man and a faith woman. And I've been saying that to myself, I'm a faith man. I am a faith man. I walk by faith. I talk by faith. I live by faith. And I see here that faith means I am confident. Same, I am confident of what we hope for and convinced of what we do not see. Amen. Amen. This next translation, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. Oh, I like that. I like that. Faith is the title deed. The title deed means you have it. You have it. This is the title deed right here. You carry the title deed of everything that you need. Everything. You hold the title deed. And if you see it in that perspective, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. It's the putting to the proof of the things that are not seen. Evidence. Evidence is proof. Evidence is proof. And that evidence, we see it with the eye of faith. In the Weymouth translation, that's the next one, faith is the confident assurance of that for which we hope, a conviction of the reality of the things that we do not see. It's a confident assurance that it's there. I am so assured that that building is finished. It's done. We have all the finances. I believe in Jesus' name, we have all the finances that it takes right now. Right now. Got it now. We've got it now. And it is the conviction of the reality. There is a conviction of the Word of God that must come out of you. a conviction that this is more real to you than anything else. It's more real to you than whatever's trying to shout at you. It's more real than that voice that's trying to say you're a failure and you won't make it. It's more real to you what God has created in you to be. It's more real to you than what the circumstances around you look like. You've been created as an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. And you are heirs to everything in the kingdom. You are royalty. You are true royalty. And you must see yourself like that. And if you have to do that by faith, you have to do it by faith. You have to look in the mirror and tell yourself every day, you are a Holy Spirit-filled believer, prosperous in every way, strong in faith, giving glory to God, and good looking too. You need to say that to yourself every day. You really do. I do that. I tell myself. I look at myself in the mirror. I said, you haven't aged a bit. You look really good. You really do. And you have to tell yourself at times when you don't look that way or you might not feel that way. I remember, I think it was, it may have been New Year's morning. It was Christmas morning, because we came to church Christmas Eve, and then we went over to the Copelands until about 11 o'clock that night. And then we got home, and Terry and I were in the wrapping room until 3:30 in the morning. We were wrapping presents. I was so tired. But long about 2 o'clock, I broke through. I got my second wind. We were watching White Christmas. I think I started singing along with it, and I got my second wind. But then we had to get up early the next morning. I looked in the mirror and I went, whoa. And that's when I looked at myself and I said, ooh, you're a man of God. You're good looking. Look at you. You've got God on the inside of you. You are wall to wall Holy Ghost. And that's why sometimes you just have to look in that mirror by faith. But you can do it. You can do it. And you know what? I changed. I did. I brightened up. Brighten up, everybody. Brighten up. There you go. That's good. All right. Let's look at the next one. The New English Bible, number 5. And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities that we do not see. Oh, that's what uncommon faith is. Uncommon faith calls those things that be not as though they were. The normal person will speak over themselves what they are or what they have. But the uncommon person will speak over them things that are not seen in the natural realm. You have to develop the sight into the supernatural realm even more than the sight that you have in the natural realm. To be able to see by faith. To be able to see those things by faith. What is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of the realities that we do not see. I like the Amplified translation. Oh, that's a good one. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. You really need to meditate on that one. You really need to think about that one. Do you know that meditation in the Word of God enlarges your capacity for faith? It'll just open you up on the inside. I sat in my prayer time today just going over these scriptures again and again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and applying that to myself and allowing that enlargement to take place on the inside. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that you hope for, being the proof of the things that we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I remember just a year ago, and I was thinking about this just the other day. I was thinking about what was going on in this room a year ago. We had been in the building 20 years in this building. And the carpet, same carpet when we moved in. And us, over the years, so wanting to get new carpet. And I had to get a hold of myself and do what I've taught others to do. I would come in here to the sanctuary and pray, and I'd talk to the carpet. In the name of Jesus, carpet, I speak to you. I command new carpet to come to this building. And we just stood and stood and stood and believed and believed and believed. And sometimes that's why you have to not, you can't quit. You can't give up. You can't quit and give up, because the physical manifestation many times is right there. It's right there, and it's going to come so fast. It's going to come so quickly. And I remember the day that we were in here right before the ministers' conference, right about now, a year ago. And we were talking about whether or not we could do this. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere of faith just filled the room. It was like, we can do it, and we can do it now. We can do it. We can do it. I don't even think we looked at the money. I think there was an anointing from heaven. Faith rose up. Faith rises up. And when the gift of faith rises up on the inside of you, you take hold of it. And we just said, let's do it. We were with the carpet people. We said, let's do it. We've got a week. We got 1 week before ministers' conference. Let's do it. And I mean, we had teams of you came in here, helped us ripped up carpet, do the things that needed to be done. And praise God for the new carpet that we have a year later. Oh, give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Now I'm telling you, new chairs are coming. New chairs are coming. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it with the eye of faith. And then Brother Hagin said, and I looked for this translation, I couldn't find it, but Brother Hagin says there's a translation that says, faith is the warranty deed. The thing which we have fondly hoped for is at last ours. It's the warranty deed. It's the title deed of what belongs to you. So let's talk about this a little bit. We've got a few more minutes here. What is uncommon faith? Well, you begin with the first part of that verse. Now faith is. Faith is always in the present tense and is never tomorrow. You must be on page 2 there. I hear pages everywhere. I'm working off of my notes. So you're on page 2. Faith is always in the present tense. It's never tomorrow. It's right now. Now faith is. I have it now. I have it now. I have it now. Well, where is it? It's right there. I see it. I see it on the inside. I have it now. And there are so many things in my life, so many things in your life that you have believed God for, and you've seen the fruition of it. You've seen the money come. You've seen the healing come. You've seen these things take place. And we're going to be seeing them more and more. Faith is always in the present tense. It's never tomorrow. It's never out there. Faith, Brother Hagin says, faith is grasping the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality. Grasping the unrealities of hope and bringing it into the realm of reality. The answer, whatever the answer is that you need, it exists right now. Yes. It's there right now. The wisdom for what you need is there right now. All we have to do is tap into it with our faith. All we have to do is lay claim of it by faith. And it's ours. It's ours. It's ours. So the answer that you need exists right now. Our faith will go out, get it, and bring it to us. That's what faith does. Faith is like the lasso that you know, the cowboy takes and throws out and lays hold of that calf and pulls it to him. That's what faith does. Faith is like the tractor beam. The tractor beam that reaches out and takes hold of a spacecraft and starts pulling it in. You've seen movies like that before. That's a picture of faith. Faith takes what already exists and brings it from the supernatural into the natural realm to be seen. That's what your faith does. That's what your faith will reach out. Your faith will reach out into realms, and that's why we have to enlarge our capacity to believe God, because our faith is reaching out there to pull the things in that we need, to pull in the equipment. When I rode that helicopter the other day, I thought, we need a helicopter. We just need a helicopter. It just seems right that this ministry needs a helicopter. So I'm laying hold of a helicopter, believing God for a helicopter. Well, and the Lord will work with you on your faith, because faith is developed. Because you could start saying, well, I want a million, kajillion, billion, zillion dollars right now. Well, wait a minute. Back up a little bit. There's a faith development that takes place. And the more you develop your faith, the stronger your faith gets, the easier it is to pull these things in from the natural realm. But you just can't out of your head do this. It has to be of the heart. Faith is of the heart, not of the head. So it's developed on the inside in the same way that you cannot go down to the gym for the first time in 10 years and see these 100-pound dumbbells over here. This picture just came to my mind, 100-pound dumbbells. Anyway, these 100-pound dumbbells and sit there and be able to bench press this. You can't do it. You have to build up to the place. So I'm saying to you, enjoy the ride. Amen. Enjoy the ride. Don't get discouraged, because we are all at different places of faith here. We are all at different places of our faith walk here. And I'm just saying to you, catch on to what I'm saying. Catch on to what I'm preaching. Just latch onto it like a train going through. Just jump onto that train and ride the ride with us. And the Lord will help you. He will help you. That house that Terry and I renovated together, that home was a faith project. It really was a faith project that we were, for 5 years, we were exercising our faith on that home. 5 years it took us to move into that home. 5 years, but we enlarged the home. It went from about 3,200 square feet. It's now 8,000 square feet. That's what happened. We connected roof lines and we did this, and the Lord was showing Terry particularly what to do and how to do it. And our faith, we were doing it by faith, and we were doing it as money would come in. And we had our ups and downs, and we had our discouraging moments. And there were times that we wanted to give up. And there were times that we wanted to quit. But we had to encourage each other. We had to build each other up, build each other's faith up. And we had to keep listening to those tapes. And we had to keep meditating on the Word. And bless God, I was walking through it today. My house is paid for. It's paid for. I was walking through 8,000 square feet of a home, praying in other tongues, enjoying the beauty of our home. It took a while. It took a while to do. But the wonderful thing about it is I owe no man anything for that place. But you see, we were developing our faith for debt freedom. So there is no, understand this, in this faith walk that we have together, there is now no condemnation to any individual in here on any level of where they are. I'm not on the level of where I want to be. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I got more inheritance that I want to have for my children's children. So I'm working on that. I'm using my faith for that. But we all are walking together in this faith project. And we're all with each other. Are we with each other? Yes. Are we standing with each other in this? So the faith is like, faith is now. It's right now. It's now. And you begin right where you are. And you begin to see what you need right now. And you see yourself having it. You find your scriptures that you're standing on, that you're believing God with, that you're taking your stand with. And you begin to confess them every day. You know, I come out here and I work out almost every day in the morning, early in the morning. And I have a CD that I keep in my car. It's by Pastor George. He recorded over 10 years ago now a CD called Power Confessions. And he listens. I listen to that pastor and I confess with him every morning when I come in. I confess with him who I am in Christ, what I have in Christ, what I can do in Christ. And I confess with him the 112th Psalm. And there are other declarations of faith that we make together. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So what is uncommon faith? Faith is now. What is uncommon faith? Number two here, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the ground, the confidence, the assurance of what we desire. Anything with substance is tangible. It's tangible. Faith is the substance. Faith is the raw material that creates. When you see God creating the heavens and the earth, you must realize that you have the same creative ability on the inside to create whatever is needed in your life. That's been given to you. Have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. And the creative power of the tongue. And that's how faith is released through the words of your mouth. The creative power of the tongue you begin to speak those things. Faith is the substance of the things that you hope for. And I use this example about this podium. Or this is not the exact podium, but in 1979, as I listed out to you there, Brother Copeland was using a music stand to keep his Bible and his notebook on. When I first came to work for the ministry in 76 and I started traveling with him, I remember when they would set up, the first meeting I went on, they would set up a platform that was about this big. It was about this big. And because back then we were in hotel ballrooms, maybe about the size of this room or smaller. And I remember them taking a music stand and putting the music stand up there, and that was his podium. He came to me one day, he said, George, I don't want to use that music stand anymore. I want you to design a podium for me. I said, all right, we'll do it. And I had seen a plexiglass podium somewhere. I think it was ORU. Yeah, it was ORU when I was a student there. I saw a plexiglass studio. So I sat down and began to design a podium. And I put that podium design down on paper. And then I showed it to Brother Copeland. We made a couple of adjustments to it. And then I took it to a plexiglass place over in Arlington, because our offices were over there at the time. And I showed the design to this person, and he took that design and he began to take the substance of plexiglass and build a plexiglass podium that looked somewhat like this. Somewhat like this. So I saw that the Lord gave me that as an example, that plexiglass podium was a picture in my mind, and faith puts substance to that picture to make it, brought it from the design realm into the natural realm where you saw it. And it began with words, words of faith. I want a podium. Make me a podium. All he had was a music stand. But after we got done with it, we have a plexiglass podium that we have used ever since. Well, that's how this works. That's exactly how this, faith is the raw material that produces the manifestation of what we desire to see in the natural. That's what it is. Faith is the raw material that produces the manifestation of what we want to see in the natural realm. Faith brings into the hearing, seeing, feeling realm those things not yet revealed to the physical senses, such as health or provision. It brings those in to that seeing realm. Point number three, faith is the substance that brought the universe into existence. When God said, let there be light, he was using his faith. Faith words create realities in our lives. That's why it's so important, the words that we speak. What are you saying? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. What are you saying? What are you declaring? What are the things that you are speaking? Faith is the parent force of all that exists. It's the parent force of all that exists. And the scripture that we use here is Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We see that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, faith words created the worlds. Do you know that faith words create your world? What worlds are you creating around us? What are you saying? What faith words are you or are you not saying? What things are you declaring? Because your words carry substance. Our words carry substance. They carry life or death. And the choice that we have to make is that every word that we speak is a faith word. It's a faith word. It is a word that comes forth from us that creates things. It's amazing. It's amazing when you catch hold of the revelation of this and the understanding of it, that the things that you begin to change in your mentality. And again, case in point, I'm talking to our building. I'm speaking to it. Faith words. It's taken a while. It's taken a while for us to get to the various stages of it, but it's happening faster and faster and faster because we are in a time of supernatural acceleration. Things are happening, and I'm declaring it so. I am declaring it so. Things are happening faster. They're happening quicker. No delays. No more limits. No more holding back. It's happening. There's an outpouring from heaven over us. And you have to make that decision that your worlds are being framed by your words. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's point number four. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. What is presently not seen in your life? Well, your faith is the evidence that reveals that it is yours now. Your faith should be all the proof. Our faith should be all the proof that we need that assures us of possessing what we can't see. If God's word says it's mine, it's mine. That's all the proof I need. And it takes me to the scripture from Matthew 8 through 10, where the centurion said to Jesus, "Speak the word only and my servant will be healed." That was the greatest demonstration of faith that Jesus had ever witnessed. Think about that. Think about that. That was the greatest. He said, "I have not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel." Greek word, enormous. "I have not seen such enormous faith in Israel." That was the greatest faith that he had ever witnessed. And it was a man saying, "Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." He had revelation. He had revelation being a military man, of a man under authority and a man of authority. And he tells this one to go and he goes. This one to come and he comes. And Jesus is like, he's got it. He's got the concept of faith. Faith commands the mountain to be removed and to be cast into the sea. Go, mountain. But faith also calls things and draws things to you. Whatsoever you believe, you receive. You have it now. You call those things. And Jesus looked at this man and he got the concept of faith. He saw it. "Speak the word only and my servant will be healed." The greatest faith is faith in God's word and its authority alone, not demanding any physical proof or evidence. That's the highest form of faith. That's the highest realm of faith. And I think each one of us in different degrees are attaining to that. But I've not arrived at that place quite yet. There's still things I'm working on. I know there's still things you're working on. That's why we're doing what we're doing right now. That's why we're taking the time out of our lives in this church to have an ongoing faith seminar, an uncommon faith seminar. To be able to really dig deep into this thing and to see things happen and to see things move, to see things take place. The greatest faith is faith in God's word and its authority alone, not demanding any physical proof or evidence. Many want to receive first and then believe that they have it. Faith doesn't work that way. We believe first and then we see it. And in the last few minutes of this, I'll cover point C here. Uncommon faith has it now, has it right now. And we must become right now minded. Even though if you were to look at the building in the natural realm, that there are walls to go up and things to happen. But the power of your inner sight, your inner faith sight is so important. And the words that you speak are so important. I see it done, folks. I've seen it done for years. I'm like Caleb, who was out there for 40 years and finally said, "Give me this mountain. I want to take my part of Canaan land." Well, Pastor George has done the same thing. I was there when we broke ground on that building, and that was quite a long time ago. Quite a long time ago. That building in the natural realm should have been finished sooner. But one of the things about it was we didn't borrow the money for it. We didn't go to the bank for it. And that sometimes things will take a little bit longer when you do it that way, because you are exercising a part of your faith that may not have been exercised before. It's very easy to go to a bank and sit down and apply for a loan, and they'll tell you how much you're worth and give you money, and then you start paying that thing out. But had we borrowed the money on the executive building when we first built it, we would have paid off the final payments this year. Millions of dollars. And I'm not willing to do that. I am not willing to do that. And that's what Terry and I had to do when we got into debt. And we made that quality decision. When you make the quality decision to see yourself debt-free, God sees you debt-free. He sees you debt-free. And we made the quality decision to live debt-free. And then we began to walk it out by faith. That's a whole message in itself. To walk out something by faith. It took a little bit of time for Terry and I to walk out of the debt that we were in, get the house paid off. We walked out that situation. And it took some years to do it, but we did it. We got there. We scaled that faith mountain. And I give God all the glory for it. But in my giving God the glory for it, He looks at me and says, thank you for giving me something to work with. Thank you for letting me allow my faith to work through you. You said what you were supposed to say. You did what you're supposed to do. You sowed where you were supposed to sow. You reaped where you were supposed to reap. Thank you, the Lord says. Thank you. I think that He appreciates a people who will use their faith. As much as we appreciate our children who will clean their room. When you tell them to clean their room and they're obedient and they clean their room, there's really something about that. You're teaching them something. You're training them in something. You're training them to be able to do something that you would normally have to do. And you're training them to do that, to take responsibility and to build character within them. Well, development of your faith builds character within you. And it gets you to a place where you get stronger and stronger. One of the things the Lord has been telling me recently about the church here, and I've got some scriptures at home that I've been looking at, but one of my purposes as pastor is to strengthen the church. One of my responsibilities as your pastor is to be able to come into a place like this, like tonight, and come in here maybe a little bit tired, maybe a little bit discouraged about something, and that you come in here and you hear your pastor speak, and man, your faith muscles are beginning to flex. You're beginning to see things that you didn't see before. You're getting encouraged. So that's what the Lord's saying to me, to strengthen the church. But I'm using my voice and my faith to be able to lift you up and to build you up. Okay, we'll finish this up. Uncommon faith has it now. Somebody say now.
Now.
What are you hoping for that is not seen right now? We hope for the finances to meet the need. Faith gives us the assurance that we will have the money, that we have the money now. I'll correct that. That we have the money now. Philippians 4:19. We hope for healing to deliver us from pain. Faith gives us the assurance that we are already healed now. 1 Peter 2:24. We hope for peace to deliver our mind from worry. Faith gives us the assurance that we have the peace of God that passes all understanding now. Philippians 4:7. Hope says, I might have it someday. Uncommon faith says, if God's word says it's so, then it is so. Uncommon faith says, I take it now. Uncommon faith says, I have it now. Uncommon faith says, I see it now. That's what uncommon faith is. That's what it is. And as we continue to develop ourselves in this, and the Lord has just given me, He's given me quite a plan for us to be able to go through these things. And if you'll stick with it, stick with me and stick with us on it, you will see a change in 2 months. There will be a change in 2 months. And I believe, come on, Pastor Tony. And I really believe one of the major reasons He's having us do this is because there's something big. There's something big that you and I together need to be believing God for. I mean, I know of big things that we need to believe for, but if we can have a church that's all believing together and we're all on the same page, nothing is impossible to them that believe. Let's give God praise for that right now.
What a powerful word from Pastor George on what is uncommon faith. I'm one of those people, and you're one too, that has uncommon faith. You know, Brother Copeland had a word from the Lord about this year that we have just started, 2019. Let's just watch that word from the Lord for 2019 and let your faith rise for this year. Watch this.
What about 2019? Will there be conflicts? Will there be wars? Rumors of wars? Testings and trials. Yes, there will. but it'll not come nigh you. It'll not come now nigh your household. This United States has come under my protection, saith the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am watching over it the same as I wept over Jerusalem, because they would not allow me to watch over them. They wouldn't come to me. But you have come to me, saith the Lord. You have called upon me. I have heard the prayers of my people. I have heard your prayers. And I especially have heard the prayers of people of faith that know how to pray and have sought my name and sought my face. And you have been heard on high, saith the Lord. This is the time that you've been praying about. These are the days that have been coming and coming and coming since the early 1980s, when I began to say, and it was prophesied of old, that there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit greater than anything that's ever come to this nation, and greater than anything, eventually greater than anything that's ever been seen on this planet. Signs and wonders and miracles from on high. Magnificent operations of the Holy Spirit. And many have prayed and prayed and sought me concerning this. Well, it's here, saith the Lord. It is here. And not only in the United States. There's great revival taking place across the South Pacific. There's great revival taking place in the islands of the world. There's great revival happening in Australia right now, saith the Lord. I'm moving by my Spirit, and you're a major part of it. Be expectant. Expectant in your heart. Not to just have something happen to you, but have something happen through you and around you and because of you. No. And again, 1,000 times, no. You're not waiting on me. I've been waiting on you, saith the Lord. But things are in order. Your house, the house of this nation, is finally coming in order. I'm not talking about the House of Representatives. I'm not talking about Congress. I'm talking about the people. Glory to God. Amen. I've been handling politicians for many years, and I can take care of them. And your politicians are nothing compared to Pharaoh. Amen. And I jerked the slack out of him, and I'm taking care of things in your place too. Amen. So rejoice and give me praise, saith the Lord. For I know and I understand, saith the Spirit of grace, that there's great need for an outpouring of my Spirit. I know that. And it's being poured out more than you realize, because you're only seeing locally. I'm seeing the whole earth. Oh, you have no idea. All you hear in the news is about the government of China. You have no idea. You have no earthly idea what's happening in China. Amen. Hallelujah. So give praise, give honor where honor is due, and continue to rejoice. Continue to say, all is well in the kingdom of God. All is well in the household of faith. And I rejoice that the end is so close. Jesus is coming so soon. Oh, yes, saith the Lord. And I have such a desire to come get you. I have such a yearning to come catch you away. I want this more than you do. But not until our Father says, I don't know the day. Neither do you. Oh, but it's soon. It's sooner than you think. It's sooner even than you think. And you think it's sooner than most people do. But I'm coming. Amen. Give him praise and give him praise. Hallelujah.
Amen. The year of abundant harvest. You know, I was watching so many people online talking about, well, what is harvest? And how do I receive my harvest? Well, the best place I know to go to find out how to do that is right back to Brother Copeland. Here's a roll-in that I want to show you. We'll watch this together on how to receive your harvest.
Financial darkness has been rolled back by the entrance of my truth that brings light. And the flow and the gathering up created by the word of truth angelic forces, for I am the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts. The end time, the harvest time, is at the end. The harvest is not at the beginning, the sowing was at the beginning. Oh, and you're sowing and working the land, and it seems like such hard work. And it is, particularly when the land is hard and hot. But harvest time is harder work than the sowing. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to get out there, George. You have to get in that field and get that harvest in before the rains come. And the storm clouds. You can see the clouds. You can see them. You can see them building up. And out in front of you is a huge wheat crop, golden wheat. If those rains come, it cannot be harvested. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, but look again. Look again. Standing at the beginning, standing across the front of that field is a row after row after row of gigantic combines, ready to roll, bringing in the crops, bringing it in before the storm can get here, bringing it in before the rain can hit it. Glory to God. Those are my angels. Those are my prosperity principalities, saith the Lord. And they are working for you. They are your angels, and those angels assigned to help, saith the Lord. And know this and understand this, saith the Lord of hosts. Where there is a trickle now, soon be a stream. Where there is a stream now, soon be a river. And where there's a river now, soon be an overflow.
Glory to God.
Flood! Flood stage! Flood stage! It's not coming.
Praise God.
of your spirit. Flooded with the light of his word.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Lifting all of your cares. All together as one. One can put 1,000 before you. 2, 10,000. And on 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 and on. It is a heavenly, infinite number. Of all forms of prosperity. To excel to the highest place, the definition of the word prosperity. To excel and prosper in good health. To excel and prosper in your spirit. To excel and prosper in your mind. To excel and prosper in your family. To excel and prosper financially.
Thank you, Jesus.
For I am the God of the prosperous. I have and I give. These are my days, saith he that gave himself so that you and I might be as rich as he is. So rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
For the back of the destroyer has been broken. And his hold on you, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially, has been destroyed.
Lord.
And his yoke thrown off your neck. For I am, saith the Lord, the I am. I am your Savior. I am your healer. I am the great physician. I am your Melchizedek. I am your high priest of your tithe and your offerings. Be it done unto you as I have spoken, saith the Lord of grace. For today is the day of your breakthrough, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Who is Jesus? He's the Lord of the harvest. Who is Jesus? He's the Lord of hosts. Who is Jesus? He's the Lord, advocate, general, commander of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he is the lover of your soul. The destroyer of the breach. The King of Kings. And the giver of gifts. For all good gifts come down from him. Yes, they come down from the Father. Of course they do. But Jesus is the administrator. See, that's where the word priest comes from. Out of the Greek text. It literally means administration. We are living under Jesus' administration. Thank you. Isn't that good? He is the high administrator. Amen. Wait a minute. You see that big mama elephant again? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. That's Jesus. And that's what he looks like to the devil. Oh, worse than that. You can't, there's no description. You can't, because he put his heel on his neck.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what it means in the full armor of God. We are shod with the preparation of the gospel, which is the power of God. And we trample underfoot the demons of poverty, the demons of lack and not enough. Today is the day of trampling. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of breakthrough.
So we've heard the word of the Lord for this year already, the year of abundant harvest. We've heard what the harvest is and how to receive our harvest. And so I'm setting my faith in agreement. This is that year I'm receiving my harvest, and I'm agreeing with you, our partners, for you to receive your harvest as well. In the mighty name of Jesus, we call it so. You agree with me? I agree. In Jesus' name. It says in the scripture, where two or three gather together in my name or come into agreement, it shall be done. And we've just done that. And I'm decreeing that it is done. I call you blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. All right. Next time I see you, we'll be back here on Sunday morning with Faith Foundations at 9 a.m. and Pastor George at 10 a.m. It's going to be a blessed time. I call you blessed and healed and whole in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Happy New Year. And know this, God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord.